Welcome to Necessary Conversations with Daryl M. Taliaferro. Conversations that are real, raw, and relevant. Let's get the conversation started now.
Hey, welcome to episode number 19 of Necessary Conversations. I'm so excited to have you on the journey today. On today's episode, I am joined by Christina Joy Whitaker. She's a speaker, leader, business and leadership strategist, and she helps women all around the world advance in the workplace. On today's episode, we're conversing about navigating the challenges associated with being a woman in leadership. Let's get to it right now. Hey, Christina, what's up?
Hey, Daryl. So glad to be with you today. Thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely. I'm glad to have you. So you are a speaker. You're a leader. You're a business and leadership strategist, and you're helping women all around the world advance in the workplace. What does that actually mean?
When I say I help women advance in the workplace, what I mean is advance according to their standards of rising in an organization. So a lot of my clients who work with me and who go through my programs, they typically are looking to get promoted. And so what I realized was I'm able to help them communicate their value in a way that on average increases their income between 50 to 80% on a regular basis. Wow. And so I love allowing women to see all of the opportunities in front of them. But what I also am incredibly passionate about is making sure these same women are able to position themselves as thought leaders in the marketplace. So I firmly believe that if you are able to create revenue and value at an organization, you can use those same skills to monetize for yourself and to create your own economy. I think there is a void of women thought leaders in the marketplace, especially Black women thought leaders. And so that is my heart. I look to really reduce that gap and create a pipeline. And so you have a speaker platform, you have a consulting platform or a premium package that you can use to go market yourself for your own expertise, for your own knowledge, and for your own skill set.
Wow, that's amazing. So when you consider your experience as it relates to being a leader as a young woman in corporate America or in entrepreneurship, what has been some of the challenges that you've experienced in making strides to be authentic and to be that thought leader in your own right?
I think there are so many challenges that especially women in the workplace face. I'll say a few of mine that I really had struggles with was one, overcoming and learning really how to trust my own intelligence and trust my own voice. And so I grew up and I was always affirmed. I was always a high achiever. So it's not that I doubted that I had the capacity to do a position. But what I realized was when I started navigating through workspaces, not only was my opinion questioned quite often, it was questioned in a way that did not necessarily work to affirm what I knew of myself. Right. And so I started to doubt and question. And that's when feelings of the imposter syndrome started to pick up. I know especially women of color in the workplace find this to happen all of the time, either through microaggressions, either through being isolated in positions. It makes you start doubting your worth, right? And when that happens, you also subconsciously stop advocating for certain positions. You stop advocating for those stretch opportunities because you feel as though you're going to rock the boat. I remember in one instance, I was in such a toxic work environment. In 1 year alone, I had gained 60 pounds. Wow. Hair was falling out of my head, and I actually started having panic attacks. Now, this was such a jarring contrast to where I was in my role, because actually at that same point in time, I was the highest ranking African-American female on my national team in a Fortune 500 company. Yeah. I was completely, really, I was the example. I was the standard. But inside, I was completely drowning. And so that's something that I don't feel like we talk about enough in a way that actually is going to give solutions. So you hear people talk about the imposter syndrome all the time, but you don't necessarily hear people talk about the tools needed to really combat that. And so one of the tools I had to realize was that the narrative I was telling myself was indeed false, and that regardless of my surroundings, regardless of what I heard from my peers, I knew that over time, I was worth it and I was giving valuable content. And honestly, what happened was I was thinking ahead of a lot of my team. And I think that's the case for a lot of women, is that we're able to think quite far in advance. Sure. And so our teams that might be male dominated, don't see the solution yet. They aren't able to see it yet. I won't say that's the case every single time, but I know for certain that's the case I was dealing with, as well as with a lot of my clients. So I think what I had to do is that there's a need to uncouple your loyalty from your company and understand that your voice has a message that will transcend the four walls of your position.
Yeah.
Your voice has the power to transcend your industry. And so really acknowledging, okay, let me start combating this negative narrative I keep replaying in my head, and understanding that, no, this is not the accurate thing. And what I challenge everyone to do is write down on paper the actual value that you have, so you can see a list. And so you can remind yourself in those low moments that, no, this is not, this, these feelings that I feel are not accurate. They're not an accurate reflection of my ability. And so the more you get in practice of doing this, that the lesser that voice comes, the more you speak to the person that you're becoming, yeah, the less that imposter and that bully in your head is going to be as prevalent. So I think that's definitely one thing. Another challenge is really in terms of being treated equitably, in terms of opportunity, as well as in terms of standards.
Right.
Women are held to a much higher standard than men. While men get a lot of grace in the workplace to experiment, to innovate, to mess up, to fail big,
right,
whenever that happens with the women, most times there's a very real consequence attached to it. So that might mean that you don't get those opportunities in the future. That might even mean the loss of your job in particular,
right,
even in terms of the standards we have for ourselves. I know one particular instance where I was actually laid off. While I was told that narrative, and it was a budget issue at the end of the day, it was a convenient choice, because what happened was one of my male leaders asked me to do something unethical in a meeting, and he wanted me to say certain stats that weren't exactly accurate for our organization, and I refused. Mm-hmm. And so making that stance really does open you up for fire. And so there's a different standard for us in terms of what we're able to do, the limits we're able to push, and in terms of how we're viewed. And so while that confidence and that tenacity, I absolutely advocate for, and it will get you in those C-level and those executive level positions, it also has a very real underbelly in that others may see you as unlikable. And so that has an effect on your performance ratings, that has an effect on your ability to move throughout the organization. And so that's just something to keep in mind. And I think finally, one of the main things that we challenge with is actually having our thoughts being seen for the valuable thought leadership that we have to offer. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times women will come up with brilliant plans and brilliant ideas, and they're regarded as fly-by-nights or flukes or things of that nature that aren't going to be sustainable. We'll pat someone on the back for a great idea, but we won't give them that promotion.
Yeah.
We won't give them that pay raise. And that's absolutely absurd, because what that does is that bars us out of so many communities. We need that sponsorship. We need for people to hold a door open in places where we are barred, and keep it open so that we have access to those same opportunities, those same resources. We see that both in the business side as well as the career side, where there's a complete disparity in the resources we have access to in terms of capital from the business side. And there's a complete lack or in equity in terms of us getting to C-suite positions on the traditional corporate side. And so there's so many things that we're dealing with on different levels on a regular basis.
Wow. You know, one of the things that you mentioned is the idea of writing down your value. And that's something that is incredibly important. And many people don't take time to do that, whether it be male or female, because until you recognize and understand and know your value, no one else will truly embrace your value.
Absolutely.
How important is it for you to express your value to those around you?
It's the most important thing you can do. It's the first thing in all of my coaching programs. Actually, I start out with defining your value, because when I tell you, that will be the benchmark that will allow you to unlock opportunity around you. That is the absolute key that you need. And so what I have people do, especially the women I work with, because what happens is it's so hard sometimes to see value in things that you are naturally gifted in. You could solve everyone else's problems and not equate any credit to it, not equate any value on it because you do it so naturally. But we have to dispel the myth that just because something comes natural to us, that it means that somehow it's not valuable to others. Right. And so that's something that I really work on because what I realized in interviews that I help women prep for, as well as in business pitches, they do the same thing. We diminish our worth, we diminish our value. And so one of the exercises that I would like to offer is ask other people, what is it that you always ask of me? If you're having a problem, why am I the go-to person for XYZ? Yeah. And when you start hearing it from the mouths of others, you start realizing, wait, these are some weighty problems. A lot of us are taking on all of these problems and dealing with them and offering solutions that really have real world impact, but we don't see the impact. Mm-hmm. And I say that as someone who did it myself. So I spent over a decade in corporate America, and in each capacity, I was coaching women out of organizations. I was coaching women how to negotiate salaries, and I didn't know it could be a business. Yeah. I truly had no clue it could be a business. I didn't know people paid for it because I said, why would people pay for something that's so easy? Yeah. You know, it wasn't until someone else told me, hey, what are you doing? Right. People will pay for that particular service. I know one particular woman, just after one conversation, she was able to negotiate a 60% increase. Mm-hmm. All she said was thank you. And I was like, oh, no problem. Wow. It left my mind after that. And so you have to remember in this capacity, no one is going to advocate for you the way you can advocate for yourself in a lot of cases. And unfortunately, for a lot of women in the workplace, I think we have about five generations in the workplace right now. Mm-hmm. And the older generations were taught that you'll be recognized for the merit of your work. And that is not the case. Right. You will be recognized for the merit that you continue to say on a regular basis and you make as the prevalent point of interest in the eyes of decision makers. If you are not talking about it, then people are not thinking about it. And so you don't have to be obnoxious, but you do have to learn how to work in your value in every conversation that you have. Remind people of the accolades that you've gotten. Remind people of the roles that you volunteered for that no one else wanted to do. Remind people of that project that you saved because no one else could figure it out.
That's a profound point. As one who has had the privilege of working with a staff and hiring and firing and having people come and sit in my office, you're absolutely right. Unless you talk about it, people are not necessarily thinking about it. You know, for me, as a chief operating officer of an organization, my mind was not necessarily on what this person can do or what this person has done. My thought process was, how can I effectively maintain the integrity of this organization and keep it moving? Yeah. It's not until, you know, women came in my office and sat and said, hey, I believe I can do this. Or men came in my office and sat to say, hey, I believe I can do that. And that is really when my mind opened up to say, oh, wow. This person is actually the answer to the problem that we have, and I would never have known it had they not said it.
Exactly. It's such an important thing that we have to do ourselves, but we also have to be strategic, right? Because your voice can only go so far. Right. And so it's important to identify sponsors as well who know your value. And I mean sponsors and the fact that they are people who can speak your name in rooms where you are not in. They can open opportunities. They can open doors where you would not have access before, because a sponsor, while they might not be completely invested in your development on a day-to-day like a mentor would be, a sponsor should know your value, because whenever an opportunity comes that's really going to allow you to position yourself for that upward trajectory or even get a different pay grade, get a different title grade, if they can remember off the top of their head, oh, Christina did XYZ, that's what's going to be the game changer. That's what others do. I quite frankly, that's what men do on a regular basis. They will always remind, this is what I accomplished. And so I think a lot of women kind of feel sleazy about it or feel like they're going to be an annoyance when they do it. So I would just recommend setting up regular cadences, whether that's monthly with your leaders, whatever have you, but a regular cadence in which you're reviewing your performance and you're like, how else can I add value? And then weaving it into the story about how you accomplished things over this past period from when you last talked. We wait until performance evaluations to have those conversations. And by that time, people are already thinking, of, okay, what do I need to put on this performance improvement side versus being positively charged? And so that allows, I think, really having that regular value, saving those emails, saving those accolades, getting testimonials gives you more power in those conversations and allows you to be the owner and the regulator of that conversation as opposed to just a recipient of information.
To add to that, by the time we do performance reviews, we've often thought to ourselves, even as the supervisor or manager, we already have earmarked a certain amount of money already for incentives. So
the decision is made.
The decision is made. Right. But if you would have come, you know, regularly, some of that money could have been earmarked to you because, oh, wow, I had a conversation with Christina and these are her accomplishments over the course of her time.
I would say it does have impact on women being able to access leadership positions, because what happens is maybe two things if you haven't done that. One, you get frustrated. And so therefore, you either leave an organization and take another job out of desperation, out of frustration. Or two, it doesn't keep you top of mind when those upward promotions come. And so therefore, it delays your ability to access those levels of leadership.
Yes. In our ability to access it, what is our incentive for doing so? Is it our own motivation? Is it our self-esteem? Or is it the fact of knowing I'm making a difference in this organization?
I think that's an excellent question, but I honestly think that has to be defined by an individual. And so I work with so many women and going through this process. And here's the issue. We always see the next natural step as if it's going to be a promotion, when in reality, that might not be the step that's best for you. Yeah. I remember when I was the highest ranking African American on my team, and I looked at the next natural step and I didn't want it. I had realized that I had created a world in which I really didn't recognize. I was chasing an ideal. I had the six-figure salary. I had the great clients. I had the big names. I had everything that I wanted, but I had created a world in which I really was drowning. I didn't want it. It's not that I wasn't high achieving. I was still killing it at my job. But when it came to, okay, should she move to a principal or partner level? I did not want that life. I had no desire to have it. And so even though technically on paper, that would have been a promotion, it wasn't a promotion for me because it would have been something that just accessed more unhappiness.
Right.
And so what is so important is defining what is going to be a promotion for you. That might be more money. That might be a title change. That might be more flexibility in your schedule. That also might be you completely transitioning out, right? That you could go to a different company with a different work environment. You could go start your own company, start your own business. It's important to define what that promotion feels like for you. And to do that, you do have to define, okay, what is your driver? What are you being motivated by? And so at some point, I switched from being motivated by wanting to be the powerful Black woman, six-figure salary, to really making decisions on what did God put me on this earth to do? What am I supposed to do? And so those purpose decisions led me, honestly, on a huge roller coaster. But it eventually got me to the point where I am today, where I know I'm locked in my purpose. I know this is my zone of genius. I know I'm supposed to be here. And so we really have to look at the driver. And I think there are different drivers at different points in life. If someone has small children, you might have a very different driver. If you're 20 years in the game and you're like, no, I'm ready to get that C-suite, you have a different driver. So it's really identifying what those drivers are for you. But I encourage everyone to do it in alignment with something that they feel is going to align them with their divine purpose, because anything short of that is not going to bring you the satisfaction that you think it
will. That's good. And I like the fact that you mentioned that promotion may look different for everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, promotion may be within the same organization or it may be without. Mm-hmm. And it may be something diametrically opposed to the current position that you're in.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that is a reality within leadership is the glass ceiling. There's a glass ceiling that exists. And to be honest with you, even though the perspective is a glass ceiling, there's sometimes a stone ceiling. There's a cement ceiling that women cannot penetrate to get to the next level. How have you navigated that as a woman in leadership? And what would you say to individuals navigating that aspect?
I think it's an interesting perspective, right? Because I would say that there definitely is a glass ceiling, but we say it in the light as if breaking or shattering that glass ceiling is something that's going to be appealing. Because when you think about it, when you shatter a glass ceiling, glass falls, right? And so there's going to be a lot of scrapes. There's going to be some blood. You will get injured in the process at times. Yeah. And so while I'm all for breaking down those barriers, there's a real question about you having to decide, is this worth it? Is this really going to be what I want? And if so, perfect. Let's push through. And I think in terms of navigating those particular experiences, boldness and courage will serve you best in those experiences. So it's sitting in those rooms. It's making sure you don't leave a room where you have not made your mark. You have not spoken a word, where you are forgettable. It's making those decisions that a lot of times will probably make you uncomfortable, and not uncomfortable in your ability to actually compete in that capacity, uncomfortable in that you're most likely going to meet resistance, because what's happening is you're shifting the steady dynamic of an organization that most likely doesn't want to shift. Yeah. And most likely you are going to have to be the person to make a case for why you need to be there. It's not fair. It's not even legal, right. Like really, right. You know, however, we are put in that position a lot of times. And so I liken it to what Black women have to go through in the workplace, and that at the bare minimum, you might have to do your job, right? Do your job well. But just to get up to the point where you have to do your job well, it's almost this unspoken pressure that you have to show people that you're worthy. Now, I try to break people out of that particular myth, but there is sometimes a real battle of fighting against team members and proving and constantly proving to show, listen, I belong here. Right. And that's before you even get to the basic standards of your job. And that is fatiguing. Yeah. That's an incredibly fatiguing process. And it's the same with the glass ceiling, right? So you're making that case over and over again. But know that when it is shattered for you, a pathway does open. So there is so much beauty in doing that. But I think there is a real assessment of, do I want to shatter this glass ceiling? Right. I remember at times where, you know, I was steps away from a C-suite. I was steps away from an executive board. And what annoyed me was, at one point in my life, I wanted that. That was my goal. I really wanted that. I wanted to belong in those rooms. I know I can compete in those rooms. I know they use my ideas.
Right, right.
But then when I would sit in those rooms with those executives, having those conversations, when I tell you mentally, I had to fight to stay checked in, because I knew that's, for some reason, I couldn't place why exactly at the time. But I knew that's not where I was supposed to be. That's not where I belonged, at least for the long term. And that's what was plaguing me. I actually recall when I was a rising professional and I was getting a lot more access to executives. And I told them my idea in one particular meeting, and it was completely silent after I spoke. Yeah. And it was so awkward for me. And so I just, you know, I let there be silence. And I remember saying, talking to one of my friend's friends at the time who I didn't know. And she was a retired executive. And I told her about the situation. And she said, you know what? I'm going to tell you something. You're never going to fit in it anywhere. And at this point, I'm like, what do you mean? I was so annoyed. I was so frustrated. Yeah. And she was like, you're never going to fit in anywhere until you are running a company. Because the way you just spoke, the way you just thought, you're going to intimidate people and they're going to see it as a target rather than a value add. Yes. And so from that point on, it shifted my thinking and it started making me see myself in another light. But I don't think I have a unique story. I think a lot of women face that same thing, where you might not have the desire to run a company, but know that at times people will envy your intelligence and they're going to envy your strategy. They're going to envy your ability and your intellect to navigate those spaces, and it will not always be celebrated. Yeah. But I will say that push is worth it. Just make sure you protect your sanity. Yeah. Make sure you protect your physical, emotional, spiritual health in that process.
So when you consider the idea of speaking truth to power, because these were the individuals that were executives in the room, and you had the privilege of opening up your mouth to provide an idea that you thought was a great idea, but they were silent. In their silence, though, they spoke loudly. Mm-hmm. They were saying something to you that they did not either have the ability to bring to words, or they didn't have the guts to say it to you, but they were saying it to you.
Yeah.
How did you use that as motivation to propel? What is it that you took from that to say, you know what? No, I'm still going to move forward, because there are two extremes. You could have easily took that as a moment of discouragement to say, you know what? I'm never going to speak again. Mm-hmm. Or you could have took that as an opportunity to say, no, I'm going to speak again, but I'm going to be intentional and methodical in my approach.
Mm-hmm. I would say it almost was a humanizing moment at the time. And so I know people put people in executive positions or who are really big influencer, things of that nature, on a pedestal. Yeah. I've never necessarily been that person, which I think has really served me well, because I'm not incredibly impressed with titles. Yeah. I kind of look at your results. I'm an acts of service, love language type of person. So I'm like, if you're not producing, I don't mm-hmm. care. You can say whatever words you want. I don't care.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I've always been wired to be that type of person. But what I realized in that moment was, you know what? Everyone in this room, I don't care what title you have, you're all figuring it out as
right,
you go.
Right.
And I think there was a relinquishment and understanding that, you know what? I'm killing myself with this perfectionism. I was very much a perfectionist. I still mm-hmm. am. I'm trying to break free from that, because what I realized was, if I am willing to delay wealth, if I'm willing to delay opportunities because I don't feel like I'm perfect, I'm doing myself a disservice.
Well, that's all the time we have for episode number 19. Join us next week for episode number 20 as we continue the conversation with Christina Joy Whitaker, part 2, as we converse about navigating the challenges associated with being a woman in leadership. If you thought today was something, you ain't heard nothing yet. Until next time, peace.
Thanks for listening to Necessary Conversations with Daryl M. Taliaferro. Follow us on social media at Necessary Conversations Podcast. Join the conversation by leaving a message on our website, necessaryconversationspodcast.com. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so you'll be notified every time a new one drops. Now, go have the conversations you need to have with the people you need to have them with.